good morning, and I'd like to thank the organisers for inviting me again. The first time it's always a tryout, the second time you know that you've been appreciated. Anyhow, the topic is meant to be the Brachos of Yaakov, and what I'm going to say is somewhat idiosyncratic, because it's gathered from various places, but a lot of it is not actually in the Mefarshim. It's things which I've thought about because I had trouble because of certain things, and I put them together, and we'll see what comes out. The first question is, in fact, how on earth can Don have been compared to a snake? We know that Yaakov compared the different children to different animals, and we know that in fact, although they're individually called by their brachos, all the brachos apply to all of them, but each one had a particular tichuna, a particular type of quality, and Yaakov defined that in many cases by reference to animals. So we find that Yehuda is the lion, you find Yisrael is the chamor, the donkey, you find Binyamin is the wolf, you find that Naphtali is the ayola. That's a question on its own. Why should Naphtali be the only one compared to a feminine animal, whereas all the rest are compared to male animals? Well, these are all interesting questions, and also the question why, for example, Yaakov didn't compare anybody to the bear. Bear's a very powerful animal. It's interesting to know why he did not do that. It's possible, I thought, that maybe because the bear is usually the animal which gets bekaas into anger, and anger is the one middah which you've got to avoid totally. The Rambam said the two middahs which you must never have anything of them, lo mehem v'lo minom, nothing at all, and that's the kaas and the gavo. And it could be that the bear represents the anger. We have the pasuk do shakul, so maybe Yaakov wanted to avoid mentioning that. Similarly, the sus, the horse, represents complete gavo. The Meshech Chochma points out that we define that the others never had horses, there were no susim. Sus was to do with Egypt, and therefore Yaakov avoided comparing anything to any animal which was not appropriate. Obviously the chazir wouldn't have been appropriate, that was Esau, Yechaz, Femeno, Chazir, Miyara. But taking all that into account, it's very difficult to understand why he should have compared anybody to a snake. The Nachash was Orum Mikol Odom. The Nachash was cursed. The Nachash was Kol Holech Al Gochoy, and that is represents the Nachash. So to call one of his children a Nachash, there must be something much deeper behind it. Now, in order to sort of understand what's going on here, there are a number of other questions one needs to investigate. We know that Don was the first one of the Bnei HaShefachos, and it could well be that Don, not being from the Gevirot, not being from the most important wise, it may well have been that he would have been somewhat at a disadvantage. In fact, it's actually mentioned when Don was born. There are two interesting things there. First of all, it says in the case of the Shvachos, it says there was a Ben Le Yaakov. In all the cases of the Shvachos, it actually points out in the Chumash that the child was born Le Yaakov. So you shouldn't think that this child was in any way inferior to the other children. But in particular, in the case of Don, there's another feature. It says Al Kain Koro Shmo Don, and Rashi says wherever it says Al Kain Koro, it means that he was Merubah Berchlutin. They became very, very important. In fact, Al Kain Korah is only mentioned in three cases. One is Yehuda, one is Don, and one is Levi. And Rashi says, in the case of Levi, he didn't become very, didn't multiply so much because of the Aron. The normal explanation is the Aron Kodesh was Machala Bohen. It reduced the numbers of the Shevet Levi. Some also say it's not the Aron Kodesh, it's the Aron Shel Yaakov. Whatever it was, Levi didn't become as fruitful as the others, but Don and Yehuda did. So you see, somehow or other, that although Don, in the one sense, is in a lower madrega, in the other sense, he's considered to be very important. And it's this problem which we want to investigate a bit further. The following points I noticed in connection particularly with Don. If you take the names of the different children, you'll find that Don is the shortest. There's no shorter name than Don. Even God, which is also only two letters, is much wider. The Dalet is much wider than the final Nun. So therefore Don, by his very name, is the smallest of all the Shvatim. So it seems, you might say, oh well, it's just it's not just a fact. Everything has its point. I'd like to ask you, anybody know which is the smallest Pasuk in Chumash? The shortest Pasuk in the whole of Chumash? Thank you. I knew Yankee would know it. Right. There are 14 Pesukim in Chumash which have three words, which so many people say the Motzei Shabbos. But the shortest of all those Pesukim, and the only one which has only 10 letters, all the others have more than 10 letters. This week you've got one in Shavuot called Kivisi Hashem, for example. But it's got more than 10 letters. The only Pasuk in the whole of Chumash to have 10 letters is Uvnei Don Hushim. Now, when you have a short Pasuk or a long Pasuk, there's a message behind it. The longest Pasukim have messages. The longest Pasuk in words is in Parshas Kisiso. There's an interesting message there, which Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld once said at a Knesset, on another occasion. There's the longest Pasuk in letters, and in I think it's the verse Chanan. There's a reason for it. But I think that the reason why Uvnei Don Chushim is the shortest Pasuk in Chumash is to teach us that Don, who is the centrality of that Pasuk, started off at a very, very small beginning. By the way, there are two Pesukim in Tanakh which are shorter. Do you know them, Yankee? You don't know them? Ah. There's two Pesukim in Divrei Yom which only have nine letters. In the first chapter, the very first Pasuk of Divrei Yom says, Odom Sheis Enosh, and Pasuk Chof Hei says, Eva Peleg Re'u. Those two Pesukim have nine letters. The only Pesukim shorter than the Pasuk of Nedon Kushi. But since they're in Divrei Ayomim, not many people learn Divrei Ayomim, therefore I suppose we can stick with the Pasuk in Chumash, because it is the shortest Pasuk. Another interesting feature, you know, many people say a Pasuk for their name after at the end of Shemon Esra. Also, I have a Pasuk, Yosef, Hashem Yigmar Ba'adin, etc., etc. If you look at the whole list of Pesukim, there's no such Pasuk for Don, because there's no word in the whole of Chumash or Tanakh, as far as I'm aware, that begins with a Dal and ends with a Nun. So Don has to put up with the Donil's Pasuk. Anybody called Don here will know that their Pasuk is Don Yodin Amok Achad Shivtei Yisrael, but that really isn't Don, because it's Donil. But since there isn't a Pasuk for Don, therefore you have to say the Pasuk Don instead, which is a bit of a cop out, a bit of a dievet. But why should it be that Don ended up with no Pasuk at all? Okay, you say it just happened like that coincidence, but there's too many of these coincidences. It must be that there's something inherent in this name which Yaakov already understood. Of all the children of Yaakov, there's only one child who had, only one of the Shvatim which had only one child. All the children had more than one child except one. Well, you know who that was.
Joseph had two.
Sorry? Joseph had two. I'm not sure there were two. You know, all of them had. All of them had, only one of the Shvatim had one child, and that's Don. Uvnei Don Chushim. And not only did he only have one child, that child was not physically perfect. Chushim was the only one that I'm aware of who was actually defective. He was deaf. Chushim was deaf. So Don is the one person who has only one child, and that child happens to be deaf. Does it not say something to us? There's something going on here in connection with Don. What is it that he is, sort of, so to speak, the smallest in many, many different directions? It's actually even more remarkable, because we just said before, Al-Kain Koroshim Adon, that Don will be Merubah Be'Ukhlusin. Now, in the way generations go, they multiply. Every generation is sort of an arithmetical progression that you get more and more as each generation goes on. If Don starts off with only one child, he's at a tremendous disadvantage. And therefore, by natural procreation, one would have expected that he would be in the smallest of the tribes, because it would compound itself. And yet, the most remarkable thing is that when you come to Bamidbar, which were the two most, the largest of the Shvatim, both in Be'midbar and in Pinchas, you find that Yehuda is the largest tribe. I've actually written down the numbers somewhere if I can find it. Yehuda is 76,400, and the second tribe is Dan with 62,700. In Pinchas, Yehuda had 76,500, and Dan had 64,400. So Yehuda and Dan are the most populous nations, and this is exactly why what was meant by Al-Kain Korosh Shimon. They were the most populous people, and it seems that notwithstanding the fact that Dan only had one single child, nonetheless they were the most populous group. So what is going on here? Another very fascinating question. We know that Yaakov gave the different Shvatim their different animals, the different titles, the different middos. Why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to come along and change what Yaakov had done? Normally Moshe added on. For example, in the case of Zvulun, it says in the case of Yaakov, Smach Zvulun, but say, no, the other way around, it says Zvulun lechot yamin yishkan. So comes along Moshe Rabbeinu and says Smach Zvulun betei sechot. It's a compliment to what Yaakov said. The only one where he seems to have changed it is Dom, because instead of calling him a snake, Moshe says Dom Gurarye. He says Dom will also be a lion. Now Yaakov called Dom a snake, he called Yehuda the lion. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't call Yehuda a lion, he called Dom the lion. Now what did he do? Is he contradicting Yaakov? Is he fighting with, arguing with Yaakov? And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't normally call them by animals. Yosef he called Bechor Shoro Hodolo, okay. But the rest of them, he didn't actually call them by animal names. It was Yaakov who did that. So what's Moshe coming along and pointing out that Don, don't worry Don, you'll be a Guralye. The next question is, if Moshe Rabbeinu is going to call Don a Guralye, why does he call it, change the order around? Yaakov says, Gur Arye Yehuda. And Moshe says, Don Gur Arye. Now, nothing happens for nothing. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu decide that the order of Yaakov was not suitable for Don? He could have said, Gur Arye Don, just as Yaakov had said, Gur Arye Yehuda. Why does he change the order? Now, I've mentioned a lot of factors about sort of the lowliness of Don, or the shortness, etc. Now I want to mention the other side of the coin. If you go through the Tanakh and through the Inyonim, you'll find there's a remarkable paradox. For example, we've already mentioned the fact that Moshe called him Guralia. We've mentioned the fact that Don was the second largest of all the tribes. Which tribe in Eretz Yisrael didn't have enough land for itself and had to find more land?
Manasseh.
Sorry? Manasseh? No. Manasseh was lachachila given two different parts. Manasseh was lachachila given that, and there was a purpose. But there was one tribe who was lived around the Tel Aviv area and found that it wasn't big enough for itself, and therefore they had to move to the Banyas area, where is the beginning of the north of Eretz Yisrael. That was the tribe of Don. Don was too many people to live in the area, therefore they had to go further, and therefore they had a second area. So it shows that Don was very populous, and they did go to the north. In fact, they were so important that later on in Tanakh, when it talks about the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, it says to me, Don ad Be'er Sheva. Starts from Don. As if Don is the important place in Eretz Yisrael. Don ad Be'er Sheva, it always says. Next. In the bracha that Yaakov gives, although he calls him a shvifoin and a nochosh, he says, Don yodin amo ka'achad shivtei Yisrael. Says Rashi, ka'achad shivtei Yisrael means ka'miyuchad shiva. Don will be the equivalent of Yehuda. Don will judge just like Yehuda does. So why does Yaakov call him a snake? If he's going to be miyuchad shiva Yisrael, he's going to judge together with Yehuda. Yaakov seems to have understood that Don would also become a miyuchad. He would be as important as Yehuda in some way or other. Next point. Who built the Mishkan? Who are the architects? Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur lemate Yehuda and Oholiab ben Achisamach lemate Don. So it seems that Yehuda and Don partnered each other in building the Mishkan. Now that repeated itself when it came to the Beis HaMikdash. Who were the architects of the Beis HaMikdash? Shlomo HaMelech, who was from Shevet Yehuda, with, who was his architect? If you look at Melachim, you'll see it was a person called Chiram. Chiram was from Shevet Dan. So again, in the Beis HaMikdash, you find that Yehuda and Dan were partnership. Now, there's a Medrash which says, which two Shvatim will Mashiach become from? Well, we all know Mashiach is going to come from Yehuda. That's the father's side. But the Medrash says that if his mother's side, he'll be from Dan. Where does the Medrash get it from? How does the Medrash know that the Mashiach will be from Yehuda on his father's side and from Dan on his mother's side? But the Mashiach, that's what the Medrash says. It must have got it from somewhere. It must be some remnant to that fact. The two people who killed Esav, according to the Tosafot in Gittin Daf Nun Hayomad Beis, were Yechushim ben Dan and Yehuda together. Tosafot says they've got two conflicting Gemaras. One says it was Yehuda, one says Yechushim ben Dan. Therefore, it must be the two together. One somehow or other they combined to put Esav to death. Again, you see this partnership between Yehuda and Dan. There's a Medrash which says the color of the flag of the Degolim. Bet you don't know the colors of the flags. But anyhow, the colour of the flag of Yehuda was blue, and the colour of the flag of Dan, according to many Midrashim, not everyone, is that it was sapphire. Sapphire is a form of blue. So there's a connection, even on the Degolim, there was this connection between Yehuda and Dan. In fact, if you look at the Seder of their birth, who was born immediately after Yehuda? It wasn't Yisachar, it was in fact Yehuda and Dan were born next to each other in age. What I'm trying to illustrate is that there are many, many connections between these particular Shvatim. We're talking now about how Dan became the most important, so to speak. Who was, would you say, was the biggest gibber in history, on Jewish history? If you had to find somebody who was the most powerful man in the whole of Jewish history, you'd always take Shimshon. He's called Shimshon HaGibor. Alright, his Gvura came from Nevorah, it came from spirituality, whatever it came from, but he was in Tanakh known as the biggest Gibor. And when Yaakov said the Shuasa of Kavisi Hashem, he had in mind Shimshon. Shimshon came from Dan. Now, why should the most powerful man on earth come from the most lowly Shevet? If he is the most lowly Shevet, Rashi says. Another interesting fact, which is just an interesting fact, I mentioned before that Don was the shortest of all words, the smallest, and you would have expected therefore that on the Choshen Mishpat Don would take up the smallest amount of space. But if you work it out, it turns out that Don took up more space than anybody else on the Choshen Mishpat. How do I mean by that? I state that every Shevet had to have 6 letters to make up the 72 letters. Therefore, what they did, they added on Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, the Gemara, and Yuma. They added on extra names, so therefore anybody who only had 5 letters got an extra letter. So Reuben was an Aleph, because he's only 5 letters, he had the Aleph. Shimon, who's only 5 letters, had the Beis to make up the 6. Levi has 3 letters, he has Reish, Hey, Mem. And so you go on. When you come to Don, you'll find that in addition to Don, he has the Kuf of Yitzchak and the Yud Ayin Kuf of Yaakov. But in order to do that, you're going to have 2 spaces. So it ends up that Don has more in his words. Many of them had only 6 letters, like Binyamin. Reuben would have had 5 plus 1 plus a space, which gives you 6 letters, but 7 spaces, because you have to have a space. Don ends up with the only one who has 2 spaces, because he's got to get the Kuf of Yitzchak and the Yud Ayin Kuf of Yaakov, which means at the end of the day, he's the only one who's actually got taking up 8 places, because he's got the 6 letters plus 2 spaces. So this little tiny little man Don ends up bigger than anybody on the Choshen Mishpat. Now you might say, alright, you know, it's one of those things. There's too many of these one of those things. That's what I'm trying to say. Therefore there's something going on here that we've got to understand better. There's no doubt about it that Yehuda was born to Malchus. We know that the Pasuk says, Lo Yosu Shevet Mihuda Mechokig Bein Raglov. There's a whole discussion exactly what Yaakov meant. Does Yaakov giving that as a lav? In other words, nobody else is allowed to take over the melucha. Is it a brocha? Or is it a prophecy, the machlokus in the Ramban and the Sharan, and the Shalom, what the Rambam holds? What is going on here? But what is clear is that Yaakov knew that Yehuda was going to be the melech. Yaakov sent Yehuda down to Goshen to make the yeshiva, because he relied upon Yehuda. Yaakov sent Yehuda to look after Ben. Yaakov relied very, very much upon Yehuda. Yehuda was definitely going to be the melech. Came from him, Malchus Beis David, Mashiach will come from him. There's no doubt about it that Yehuda was going to be the Aryeh, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. In fact, it's mentioned in his case, his name is mentioned three times. He's the only one whose name is mentioned three times in the brachos. All the other, if you look at the other people, they're all mentioned once, with the exception of Yosef and Don, who we mentioned twice. And Yehuda is mentioned three times. There's another factor. You see, somehow the Don is mentioned, his name is mentioned twice, whereas everybody else is only mentioned once, with the exception of Yosef and Yehuda. Again, it's another indication that something's going on. We also know that in the whole bracha of Yehuda, the letter Zayin is omitted. The Rabbi Lubavitcher gives three explanations. The one which is relevant to us is, well, two relevant. One is that he was the seventh of the others, therefore the Zion is giving us an indication that he was the one who's going to be Roy for Malucha. That's one pshat. But the pshat which is really relevant to us is that we know he was going to be the Melech, and Yaakov Avinu didn't want him to be a Melech of power, like a foreign despot. He wanted Yehuda to be a Melech through Tefillah, and a Melech who is with Hachnor and with humility, and he would read the country through Ruchnias and through Tefillah and so forth. His very name Yehuda includes in it the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, with the letter Dalad, the Dalad being for Dalus poor, like the Oni Rokhi Malachamor. Mashiach will be a person who will come on a donkey. He won't come in a Cadillac. He won't come in a very, very important way. He'll come in a very modest way, and that was what Yehuda had to be. And therefore the Zion, which represents clay Zion, arms, that's omitted from the whole bracha. There's no letter Zion in the whole bracha. Every other letter is there bar that, to teach us that Yehuda will be the Melech, but he'll be the Melech par excellence, the Jewish leader. Now, in the case of Don, Yaakov knew that Don would start from very, very small beginnings. He compared him to the Nachash, because the Nachash is not only is the most humble in humility, he's got something to be humble about, because he's actually called Holich Al Gochon. But he's very astute and very sharp, the Nachash, and that can be used for good, it can be used for bad. Every Midah has a good and a bad. The Nachash, normally, that Midah is used for dishonesty and for deceit. Yaakov is saying, you, Don, have been born with very, very humble beginnings in many, many ways, which we've discussed before. But your koyach will be Don Yodin Amo, that you will overcome those difficulties, and you will also be able to become a leader. But how will you do that? By being mishtatef with Yehuda. Now, this is the message which Moshe wanted to give. The Pasuk says, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Yehuda was born a Gur Aryeh. You could see as soon as he was born, he was a Gur Aryeh. He didn't have to talk about it. He was one. So Yehuda, therefore, is a description of Gur Aryeh. What comes second is in opposition to what comes first. He was a Gur Aryeh. You could see from birth that this man is born to leadership. His avoda was to make sure that he stayed a leader with humility. He, on the contrary, had to make himself humble. That was his avoda in life, to remain humble, to remain this great Gur Aryeh, but at the same time not to be an arrogant melech, not to be somebody who would abuse and misuse his powers. That's why he has no Zion, and that's why he has the Dalit inside his letter, in his name. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Don, you started off as being a little Don. Your tachlis in life is to change from being the Nachash to become a Gur Aryeh. So Gur Arya Yehuda, you start off as a Gur Arya and then you become Yehuda, but Don is first of all a little Don. Don Gur Arya is Anek Min HaBoshan. You start off as being a little Don, but your job is to come and emulate Yehuda and try and utilize that potential which you've got. You may never be the leader that Yehuda is, but you could be mishtatev with Yehuda by using your tachunas, your particular qualities, and becoming a leader like Yehuda, so that you can assist him. Don Yodin Amu Ke'achad Shifti Yisrael. You won't be the Achad Shifti Yisrael, but you'll be Ke'achad Shifti Yisrael. You'll be like Yehuda. You will grow, and you will join in all Yehuda's pulas. You will make the Mishkan, you will make the Beis HaMikdash, you will be instrumental in Mashiach coming. You will rise from being a little Nachash to being the Shuach HaKadosh Hashem, to being the great big Shimshon. Now the message for all of us from this is very clear. I think 99% of us are on the beginner of Don. There may be one or two Gur Aryas around who are very great, and they become the Gedolim, they become the leaders. They've got to remember to remain humble as leaders. But the rest of us, we have got to each one recognize the qualities that we've got and utilize them in order to help the Gedolim, in order to be mishtatef with them and work to them. And if we do, we can be like Don, Meruba Be'uchlufin. We can be like Don as Ke'achad Shivtei Yisrael. We can be like Don with plenty of more land and more greatness and more of everything in the right direction. Just to finish off with just an idea which comes from Rabbi Volbe Zichrono Livracha. He says, a person must recognize his faults in order to put them right. If you're a Bar Gaiva and think you're perfect, then you'll never be able to put your faults right. If you're a Yehuda but you don't recognize that you can do something wrong, you'll never be able to be Maida. Yehuda means you'll be admit. To admit something, you've got to show that you've done something wrong. You've got to be humble. The word Yehuda comes from Moda. Moda is connected with Yad, and that's where Vidui comes from. Vidui means to confess, be misvada. That's connected with the same idea of Yad, because with a hand you've got to throw something down, and with the Vidui you've got to throw yourself down. Moda means two things: to admit that you might be wrong. It also means to give thanks. You only thank somebody if you feel that they've done something for you. If you're such a bad guy that you think it's kumtach, then you won't thank anybody for it. Well, I'm entitled to have it. I'm the king. I'm entitled to whatever there is. If that's your attitude, you'll never be murdered to anything. Yehuda's koyach was the koyach to be able to be murdered. That was his strength. If you can't do that, you're not going to be able to put your faults right. But says Rabbi Volbe, there's something more important than that. A person has to recognize his qualities, because if you don't recognize you've got qualities, you won't be able to put anything right. In other words, the qualities that you've got are the key to be able to put things right. If you think, I'm a nobody, well, if I'm a nobody, then I don't have to get up for davening. If I'm a nobody, I don't have, doesn't matter if I do aveiros. I'm a nobody, nobody's going to count, doesn't matter. You become very depressed, you become mayush. Anybody who thinks, oh, I can't do it, I'm too small to do that, I can't make brokers, I can't do that, I can't do things, I can't do chesed, I've got no money, what can I do? If you think like that, then you're finished. You end up with a complete non-entity doing aveiros and excusing yourself. It's really about time that does that. He wants things to say, I'm not capable of doing better. Says Rabbi Volbe, each one of us has got to look into our souls and look at what are we good at. And you'll soon see we've all got that ability to get up for davening. We've all got that ability to help other people. We can. We've all got those qualities. Sometimes we think we haven't. But if you could only recognize that you've got these qualities, then if you recognize your qualities, you can then put your faults right. So it's very important. It's not humble to be able to think that you're not capable of doing something. That's not humility. That's tava. Humility means knowing how great you are, knowing what you can achieve, but not throwing it down somebody else's throat, not pushing it down to show how important you are. But you must recognize that you've got qualities. He says it's more important to recognize your own qualities than your own faults. Because a person who recognizes his qualities can have the key to putting everything right. And this is the pshat in Don. If Don had remained a snake, he would have said, "Oh, I'm a snake, I'm a nobody, I'm a crawly, I can go and poison people, I can do all sorts of dishonest things," which is exactly what the Nachash does. Why do people do dishonest things in business? Well, I'm not capable of any better. You are capable of. You can be like Don. One can realize one's potential and realize you can earn your living like a human being with complete integrity and reach the heights of Yehuda. That's the message that Yaakov was giving and that Moshe finished off. Don Gur Aryeh is the message that Moshe added to the brachos of Yaakov. And Mr. Sharma, I hope we all go home and think now about our qualities. Each one of us is going to do something better today because you've got that quality which you didn't realize you had before. Yeah.